Chapter 9. It. Meg rushed at the man imprisoned in the column, but as she reached what seemed to be the open door, she was hurled back, as though she had crashed into a brick wall. Calvin caught her. "It's just transparent like glass this time," he told her. "We can't go through it." Meg was so sick and dizzy from the impact that she could not answer. For a moment she was afraid that she would throw up or faint. Charles Wallace laughed again, the laugh that was not his own, and it was this that saved her, for once more anger overcame her pain and fear. Charles Wallace, her own real, dear Charles Wallace, never laughed at her when she hurt herself. Instead, his arms would go quickly around her neck, and he would press his soft cheek against hers in loving comfort. But the demon Charles Wallace snickered. She turned away from him and looked again at the man in the column. "Oh, Father," she whispered longingly. But the man in the column did not move to look at her. The horn-rimmed glasses, which always seemed so much a part of him, were gone, and the expression of his eyes was turned inward, as though he were deep in thought. He had grown a beard, and a silky brown was shot with gray. His hair, too, had not been cut. It wasn't just the overlong hair of the man in the snapshot at Cape Canaveral. It was pushed back from his high forehead and fell softly almost to his shoulders, so that he looked like someone in another century, or a shipwrecked sailor. But there was no question, despite the change in him, that he was her father, her own beloved father. "My, he looks a mess, doesn't he?" Charles Wallace said and sniggered. Meg swung on him with sick rage. "Charles, that's father! Father!" "So what?" Meg turned away from him and held out her arms to the man in the column. "He doesn't see us, Meg," Calvin said gently. "Why? Why?" "I think it's sort of like those little peepholes they have in apartments and the front doors," Calvin explained. "You know, from inside you can look through and see everything. And from outside you can't see anything at all. We can see him, but he can't see us." "Charles," Meg pleaded, "let me in to Father." "Why?" Charles asked placidly. Meg remembered that when they were in the room with the man with red eyes, she had knocked Charles Wallace back into himself when she tackled him and his head cracked the floor. So she hurled herself at him. But before she could reach him, his fist shot out and punched her hard in the stomach. She gasped for breath. Sickly, she turned away from her brother, back to the transparent wall. There was the cell. There was the column with her father inside. Although she could see him, although she was almost close enough to touch him, he seemed farther away than he had been when she had pointed him out to Calvin in the picture on the piano. He stood there quietly, as though frozen in a column of ice, an expression of suffering and endurance on his face that pierced into her heart like an arrow. "You say you want to help Father?" Charles Wallace's voice came from behind her with no emotion whatsoever. "Yes, don't you?" Meg demanded, swinging around and glaring at him. "But of course, that is why we are here." "Then what do we do?" Meg tried to keep the franticness out of her voice, trying to sound as drained of feeling as Charles, but nevertheless ending on a squeak. "You must do as I have done, and go into it," Charles said. "No, I can see you don't really want to save Father. How am I, being a zombie, save Father?" "You will just have to take my word for it, Margaret," came the cold, flat voice from Charles Wallace. "It wants you, and it will get you. Don't forget that I, too, am part of it now. You know I wouldn't have done it if it weren't the right thing to do." "Calvin," Meg asked in agony, "will it really save Father?" But Calvin was paying no attention to her. He seemed to be concentrating with all his power on Charles Wallace. He stared into the pale blue that was all that was left of Charles Wallace's eyes. "And for thou wast a spirit too delicate to act her earthy and abhorred commands, she did confine thee into a cloven pine," he whispered, and Meg recognized Mrs. Hu's words to him. For a moment, Charles Wallace seemed to listen. Then he shrugged and turned away. Calvin followed him, trying to keep his eyes focused on Charles's. "If you want a witch, Charles," he said, "it's the witch." "Not our ladies," Good thing I had the Tempest at school this year, isn't it, Charles? It was the witch who put Ariel in the cloven pine, wasn't it? Charles Wallace's voice seemed to come from a great distance. Stop staring at me.